Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Put that on the screen for me. Hebrews 4, 15. It says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. We've been in the series talking about he's been there. Jesus, wherever we have been, Jesus understands, and Jesus has been there. And here's where we're going to be today. He's been there. No one believed in him. John chapter 10, verse 31 through 33 says this. Says, once again, the people picked up stones to kill him. And Jesus said, at my Father's direction, I've done many good works. For which one are you going to stone me? And they replied, we're stoning you, not for any good work, but for blasphemy. For you, a mere man, claim to be God. Let's pray in this place today. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence in this room. We thank you, Father, for speaking to us right where we are today. God, thank you that you love us enough to interrupt our moment, to interrupt what we have planned. God, to just invade our space and invade our time to speak to us and let us know that you are concerned for us, that you care for us, that you see us, and that you are ministering to us and working in us, Father. And we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. I thank you for your blessing upon everything that we do. I thank you for your blessing upon every seed that's been sown. I thank you for your blessing upon every obedient heart stepping out of faith to trust you with finances and to give and to sow and offering and tithe today, Father. We thank you that you receive that, and we thank you that you receive our worship, Father, and we thank you in advance for what you're speaking to us in this house this morning in Jesus' name. Why don't you, in this room, if you're in this room, if you're online today, put your hand on your belly, repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes, open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear, so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you call me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but one of the most annoying and absolutely frustrating and maddening things that can happen in life is when someone tells you that you can't do something that you know darn good and well you can do. Has anybody ever experienced that, you know? Like this happened a few months ago. Maybe it may have been a year or two now ago. I was in my garage gym working out, and one of my friends, Ed, was in there with somebody. They were working out, and I wasn't even really getting after it too hard. I was just kind of doing a little something. And we had this. There's this wooden box we have that we'll do like box jumps and stuff on. And the high side of it is maybe just a little above knee high on me. And somehow the conversation came up, and my friend Ed was like. He was like, I don't think you can jump up on that box from the ground. I was like, I guarantee you I can jump up on that box from the ground. He was like, I don't think you can do it. And I instantly stopped everything I was doing. And I was like, I'll show you exactly what I can do, because I know for a dang fact that this 275-pound frame can get up off the ground and get on that box. And he was like, I don't think you can do it. Don't try it. And I was like, bet right now I can do it. And so I got up on the ground. I think I was on a bike. I was doing an air bike, and I got up. I was like, I'm just going to do it. So I bent down, hopped up, and bam, nailed it, landed right on that box, you know. And he was like, I really didn't think you were going to make it. I was like, I'll be honest, about halfway up in the air, I didn't know if I was going to make it either. but I did make it. I honestly, just for comedy's sake, I wish that story ended with me falling over and not making it, but it didn't happen. That actually, like probably 2 months ago, I was with the same box on the short side. I was doing jumps on it, and for whatever reason, I did miss it the other day. I missed it, and what happened was, when I hit the box, I landed like on the edge of it, and it tilted, and this frame doesn't work well off balance, you know? And so it tilted, and then when it tilted, I actually flipped over the box, and there was a bench, a workout bench was like right in front of it, and I smacked my head on the bench. I nearly knocked myself unconscious. I was laying there for like 3 hours. Nobody came to look for me. No, but I was fine. But anyway, so I was like, yeah, I know I can do it. Have you ever been challenged like that? Somebody said, no, I don't think you can do that. No, I don't think you can make that shot. I don't think you can do that thing. I don't think you can make that jump. And you're like, you just, something inside of you is like, I've got to prove these people wrong right now, because I know that I can do it. Anybody ever been there? Well, here's some good news for us. Listen. If you ever feel like you don't have anybody in your corner, or if you ever feel like people are challenging you and telling you you can't do something, if you ever feel like, listen, when you feel like no one believes you can do it, remember, people didn't believe in Jesus either. Amen? You might be in a season, you might have gone through some moments in life where you've got big dreams, you've got a big vision, you feel like God's put something in your heart to do, and every time you share it with somebody, every time you're like, I think maybe God is leading me to do this, there's just nobody that's like cheering you on. You don't have a cheerleader. In fact, you might feel like people are telling you, no, I don't think you can do that. I think you should sit down. I think you're going to hurt yourself. I think you need to be careful. I think you need to check it again. And you might be feeling like, man, does anybody actually believe? There's like nobody that believes in me, man. Well, guess what? You're not alone. He's been there. Jesus didn't have really anybody believing in him either, okay? To the point that they were willing to pick up stones and try to kill him. That was the level of their disbelief. Even Jesus's best friends, even the disciples, the 12 disciples, even their level of belief was really never what it was while he was on earth. It literally took, like if you read the story and study them, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, Jesus has told them all of the stories and taught them all of the lessons of the kingdom and said, hey, I'm going away and I'm going to heaven and the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's laid out the whole plan. And in Acts chapter 1, after Jesus has been crucified, resurrected, hung out for 40 days, as he is ascending into heaven, the Bible says that the disciples are going, are you going to establish your kingdom on earth now? Like, are you doing it now? Like, is this the moment? They were still waiting, even in spite of all they had heard and all they had seen. They were still unclear on what Jesus's kingdom meant, and they were asking him in the very moment that he was going to heaven and about to send the Holy Spirit, they're like, are you now going to become the king of the world and set us up on earth? And he just goes away. And the Bible says they just looked at him into the heavens until finally they stared. So if you listen to Acts, you see, the Bible says an angel came down and were like, what are you guys looking at? He's gone. Go do what he's told you to do. You know, that's literally what had to happen, because we all had that level of unbelief. Even the disciples, Jesus' family, we talked about that last week, his close disciples, none of them really, really got it or really believed in him. So guess what? If you feel like nobody gets you, and if you feel like nobody understands your vision, and if you feel like nobody understands your calling, if you feel like nobody really is really, really, really on your side and nobody really believes in you, guess what? They didn't believe in Jesus either. So you're in good company, amen? He's been there, okay? And this is what you need to understand from this. There's a couple things I want to pull out from this little text and this story in Jesus' life is this. Jesus, to get a little context of what's going on here, Jesus is in the temple, he's teaching. It's actually the Jewish celebration of Hanukkah, which is coming up on our calendar in just a couple of months. And Jesus is showing up at the temple, and he's teaching, and he's ministering, and he's praying for the sick, and healing blind eyes and all this stuff. And the Bible says that this group of people that are turning on him, about to stone him, this group of people comes to Jesus in the few verses before, and they're like, hey, Jesus, tell us for sure, tell us plainly, are you really the Messiah? Are you the Son of God? And Jesus' answer is, listen, I've already told you several times, and you still don't believe me. And then he says, and you don't believe me because you're not my sheep, and you can't understand my voice, which is the voice of the Father. And this offended them, and they got really ticked off when Jesus said, you're not part of the Father's sheep, and I'm the Father of one. So that's what created this offense and created this moment where they're like, oh, we're going to show this guy. And here's what you need to understand. Listen to me close. Listen to me. Don't miss this. Listen. There will never be a shortage of people who are ready to throw stones when you step out in God's will. When you begin to step out into what God has called you to do, when you begin to hear the Holy Spirit's voice, and you begin to not only hear, but you begin to respond, when you begin to serve, when you begin to move closer, when you begin to move forward, when you begin to move into that thing that God has put you on this earth to do, when you begin to share that vision, when you begin to walk into that dream, when you begin to discover your purpose in the kingdom, guess what? There will never be a shortage of people who are willing to pick up rocks and throw stones at the vision and the dream and the calling and the purpose and the thing that God has put you on this earth to do. Amen, somebody? There will always be somebody willing to throw stones. I'll tell you right now, every idea I've ever had, every calling I've ever felt, everything I've ever felt, there have always been moments where somebody threw a stone. I know you probably heard me share before, but I'll never forget it. Two or three times, when we were planning to start this church more than 10, 11 years ago, There were more than one person that when I shared the vision for what God had called us to do, I said, we're going to start this church in Brookville, Indiana, a church that doesn't exist right now. There's plenty of great churches, but there's not one like what God has called Red Life to be. And there were plenty of people that said, are you sure you want to start a church in Brookville? Because Brookville is a hard place, and those people, the people of Brookville, they turned down the things of God and this and that, all kinds of reasons. Are you sure you want to spend? And I just remember getting so aggravated and upset. And I know part of that was because I know God had called me to do something. Amen, somebody? And I just thought, man, who are you to pick up a rock and throw a stone at this thing God has called me to do? Amen, somebody? But listen, I've got to make a decision, and you've got to make a determination that you're not going to let the people that throw stones stop you from going after what God has put in your heart to do. Amen? Because here's the thing, and if you see in this scripture too, yes, there were people picking up stones to throw them at Jesus. Yes, there are people that didn't believe. But in verse 42 of this same moment, in this same story, just a few verses later, the Bible says that when Jesus got away from that crowd, he went to another crowd, and many believed in him at that time. Amen? So what I'm trying to say is this. Yes, there are always people that are willing to throw stones, but don't focus on the people throwing rocks. Look at the ones around you who are cheering you on. Look at the ones around you who do believe in you. It may just be one or two. Man, you focus on those one or two and forget about the other people throwing rocks. Amen, somebody? There will always be somebody throwing rocks, but God will usually have somebody there ready to say, hey, you can do it. Hey, I believe God's called you to do that. Hey, I think that would be awesome. I think you can make it. Come on, somebody. Don't look at the people throwing rocks. Look at the people who are there that believe in you. Amen? And this is the other thing a couple of things I want to pull out of here. The Bible says when they begin to pick up the rocks and they begin to try to, and when they say stone Jesus, they're not trying to hurt him. They're trying to kill him, okay? Jesus says when they begin to get aggravated, they begin to pick up the rocks and stone him. He says, for which one of the many good works are you trying to stone me for? Jesus had been healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, preaching the kingdom of God, showing us and laying down the foundation for the salvation of the world and laying down the foundation for the church and showing us what God has called us to do and how God has called us to live. Jesus was already doing everything that God called him to do, and he didn't wait for anybody to give him permission or anybody to tell him to do it or anybody to say that it was okay or for anybody to believe in him before he did the thing that God had called him to do. You see that? Here's what you need to understand. We talked about this a little bit last week. The people that are throwing stones, there's always a quote-unquote they. Amen? Well, they said this, and they said that. They said it couldn't be done. They said we shouldn't do it. And they said I shouldn't try that. And they, well, you ask, well, who's the they? The they are the people picking up rocks and trying to throw stones. Here's what you understand. Listen to me close. God's calling trumps whether or not they believe in you. Amen? What God has called you to do, what God has created you to do, what God has purposed you to do, that trumps what any they believes about you, about your situation, about your ability, about your calling. Listen to me. God's calling trumps what they believe. So don't wait for a they to give you permission, and don't wait for a they to tell you you can do it, and don't wait for a they to tell you to believe in you before you go ahead and begin to step in and do what God has called you to do. Jesus said, I've been doing all this stuff and telling you all this stuff. You want me to tell you again who I am and what I'm about? I've been doing it the whole time, and you haven't believed it yet. You're not going to believe it now, so why am I going to waste my time? I'm just going to keep on doing what God has called me to do. Pick up your rocks if you want to, but I'm going to keep doing, and I'm going to keep building, and I'm going to keep being who God has called me to be on this planet. Amen, somebody. God's calling trumps whether or not they believe. So don't wait for permission. The thing God's put in your heart to do, the ministry God's called you to serve in, the person God's called you to pray for, the thing God's called you to believe for, whatever God's called you to prepare, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Well, they said I couldn't do it. Who cares? God said you could. See, God putting it in your heart to do is God telling you, hey, I believe in you. And I believe, I know I'm going to empower you and enable you and anoint you to do it. Amen, somebody? The Old Testament, I believe it was the prophet Isaiah who asked the people of Israel like this. He basically said like this, whose report will you believe? Amen? And the answer should be, and it's supposed to be, we will believe who? The report of the Lord. Do you remember that song from back in the day? How many church folk remember that song from back in the day? Oh, I'm all by myself, okay? Y'all don't remember that song? Whose report will you believe? Come on. We will believe the report of the Lord. My wife is like, please stop. You remember that song? Okay, you know that song. She just hit it. Maria, thank you. Jack, okay, thank you. All right. All you Baptists and Episcopalians don't know nothing about that, but some of us Pentecostal folk around here, we remember them songs, all right? Whose report will you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to choose to believe that if God has put it in my heart to do it, he believes either I can do it, or at the very least, and probably what would be even better, that he is going to give me the power and the strength to do it. So I don't need they to tell me I can. God's calling trumps whether or not they believe. And the reason I believe that Jesus, and this is the example he sets for us, the reason that Jesus is able to go ahead and do what God has called him to do and be who God has called him to be in spite of the lack of anybody believing in him is this reason right here. I'm going to read this text in verse 38. It says, and this is him again, he's still having this conversation with people that are ready to throw rocks at him and kill him. He says, but if I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I've done, even if you don't believe me, I'm going to get back to that in a second, but he says this. He says, then you will know and understand that the Father is in me, and this is the phrase here, and I am in the Father. Jesus is able to do exactly what the Father created him and put him on this earth to do, in spite of anybody believing him or not, in spite of even his family not really believing him, in spite of his disciples not really fully understanding, in spite of people ready to throw rocks and kill him, Jesus is able to go ahead and do that for this reason and this reason alone. His identity was based in his relationship with the Father. He lived out of his relationship with the Father. And because his identity, the source of who he was, came from the Father, he does not need anyone around him to give him permission or to tell him you can do this thing. And the example for us is this. If we're going to do what God's called us to do, I'm going to have my identity based in my relationship with Jesus and my relationship with the Father. I'm going to have to be in the Father, and when I get my identity, and when I get who I am, and when I get my life wrapped up in the Father, all of a sudden, it gives me the permission to block out who they say that I am, and who you say that I am, because I've heard a voice in heaven, and in my spirit telling me who he says that I am, and the voice of the Creator speaking to my identity empowers me to do what he's called me to do. Amen, somebody? So if I'm struggling, stepping out and doing what God's called me to do in that, and if I'm listening to the voice of the they, and we will always have a voice of the they, and we will always struggle with listening to the voice of the they, listen, I'm going to have to be honest and go, okay, you know what? I might have my identity wrapped up too much in what so-and-so or they are saying about me, and I need to get back to the Father, and I need to get back in that relationship, and I need to get my identity based solely on who God has called me to be. Amen, somebody? And I'm telling you this is something we all will struggle with, but God has created us to find identity from relationship with him, not from a relationship with they. Amen? This was just a few weeks ago I had this conversation. I was I was in here early on Sunday morning. I was sitting right over there in that section, and I was just spending this time with the Lord. And I remember having this conversation in my head. I wasn't like a crazy person talking out loud or anything, but in my head I was just talking with the Lord. And I remember this thought creeping into my mind. And I thought, Justin, why can't I be like in my mind I was like quote unquote like normal pastors. Well, I appreciate that. But I mean, I've lived most of my life in most of the ministry that God's called us to, and I've got great relationships with mentors and spiritual fathers and friends that are in ministry. And I'll be honest, I look around and I go, man, I love these guys and we have a kinship, but in a lot of ways I'm like, I'm just not built like those guys. That's just not me. And I remember thinking, God, why can't I be like whatever a normal pastor? I don't even know what that even means, really, but that was just a thought in my head. You know? And I remember almost instantly the Holy Spirit corrected me. And I just want to share what he spoke to my heart about this idea. I really feel like the Lord said, I reflect in you the part of myself that I choose. You know, it is not my responsibility to pick and choose. See, Paul said it this way. Paul said when he talks about looking at the face of God, he says right now on this earth, in I believe Corinthians, he says this. He says we look through as a broken glass. He says our view of God, even though we're saved and we're sanctified, we have the Holy Spirit, he says until we get to heaven, our view of God is like trying to look at an image through a broken mirror, through broken glass. You ever looked at yourself through broken glass? You see different parts of it, and you can't maybe control. You might be standing this way, and your reflection might be coming off another way, and it's kind of wild. And I really got this image of like, my job is not to look at the mirror and try to pick and choose what part of God I'm going to reflect. My job is to position myself in the light and say, God, you reflect in me whatever part of your character that you want to, God. Whatever side, because God, listen, God is a multifaceted, God is nuanced and creative and we think of church people and Christians and what it's supposed to look like this, and you should talk like this, and you should dress like this, and you should act like this, and church should look like this, and these are the songs, and that's this, and that's that, and pastors should do this, and Christians should do that, and pastors' wives should do this, and we put all these things on us. You know what we're doing? We're getting a bunch of identity from they. And my job is not to say, well, what do you think is supposed to look like? And what does this one look like? Oh, that one's successful. And oh, that one looks really good. And a lot of people like them, so let me look. No. My job is to position myself in front of the light and say, God, you are the light from heaven, and you can reflect through this broken glass any way you want to. And if you want to reflect a side of you through me that is a little different, that looks a little different, that comes out, that's fine with it. I just want to be in the light. I just want to glare at the light. Amen, somebody? And I want to set that free in you too, man. Listen, you reflect, you let God choose what side of himself he reflects in you. Amen? Means I got to get my identity from God and God alone. Now, that's what Jesus does for us. That's what he shows us how to do. Now, here's where this thing turns. Because a lot of times we look at this story and I do the same thing and I put myself in Jesus' shoes. We're Jesus in the story. Everybody's attacking us. Nobody believes in me. Nobody thinks I can do it. And they didn't do it. And that's part of a yes. But the reality is this, if I'm real honest, the reality is this, more often than not, I'm part of the crowd than I am Jesus. If we're just keeping it real today, most of the time through our lives, we show up and we end up being part of the crowd who's ready to pick up rocks and throw stones. And when we get, here's what happened here. Jesus said, he's like, I'm doing all these things. He says, for what part of what I've done, what have I done that's making you want to stone me right now. And they're like, oh, it's not for anything you've done. It's for the words that you said. And this is what I recognize in my life. A lot of times when I get ready to pick up a rock and join the crowd and throw stones, it's not because of anything Jesus has done. It's because there's a word that challenges me. It's because there's a word that might bring correction. It's because there's a word that might make me have to rethink some things. It's because there's a word that I find it difficult to grab onto or to let saturate in my life. And so it's just, I think it's our baseline humanity is most of us, instead of going, oh, that's a challenging word, let me chew on that, let me think of that. No, we're just a bunch of Neanderthals a lot of times. We're like, oh, I don't like that. Let me pick up a rock and throw something at it. That makes me feel bad. Right. That's how I'm that way. Most of the time, we're part of the crowd. And we want to pick up a rock, break windows when something doesn't look like we think it should. And this is what we pull. Jesus tells us what to do. When you're challenged with the word, when I'm tempted to join the crowd and pick up a stone and start throwing rocks, what Jesus said is, listen, if you are struggling with the word, what does he say? He says, look at the work. Let me read that again. Verse 38. If I do his work, believe in the evidence of the miraculous works I've done, even if you don't believe me. Meaning, if you're having trouble believing the word, believe the work. Believe what God's already put in your life. Believe what you've already seen God do in your life. Well, I don't know, God's pushing me, God's calling me. I read a scripture and it jumped out at me. I've never really seen it that way before. The preacher's saying some things that I don't really know if I agree with. I might have to chew on it a little bit. I'm kind of fighting the urge to throw rocks right now. You know what I mean? That's why we don't let any rocks in the sanctuary. And so what Jesus says, hey, if you can't believe the word, believe the work. Check out the work. Think back to when you're being challenged to grow, when you're being challenged to rethink, when you're being challenged to change, think about the work that Jesus has already accomplished in your life. Think about where you were when you first met Jesus. Think about how far God has brought you in this thing. Think about the things that you've seen the word of God work in your life already. And when you're struggling to receive the word, then hold on to the work and give that some time for your heart and your faith to line up with the word and grab a hold of that word. Amen? And you know why else? You know why else we're so quick to pick up stones and throw rocks when the word challenges us? I think it's because of this. I think it's because we've been hit by so many rocks and we've gotten clipped by so many stones in our lives that we default to what has been done in our lives. I shared something with somebody and it was hard for them to take. It was hard for them to understand. They didn't believe, and they threw rocks. So I get that. And then when the same thing happens to me, it gets programmed into my heart, into my spirit. Will you stand all over this place this morning? That means I'm almost done if you don't know. We throw stones because we've been hit with stones. In just a moment, I'm going to pray, and I just believe the Holy Spirit is going to move right now, because this is what I sense the Lord wants to do with some of us right now, maybe many of us, maybe all of us. Let me read this scripture right here. Third John, or 1 John chapter 3. This isn't on the screen. It wasn't in the notes. Listen to these two verses. It says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world, they don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him." Verse 2, "Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. We do not know what we will be like, for we will see him as he really is." What he's basically saying there in a very nutshell, I'm not going to dig into it for time. But basically, the love of God shows you and I who we really are what our identity is in Him. And I know this, I don't know, this may not be for everybody, but I know it's for somebody because I know God put this in my spirit this morning. There's some of you that are carrying scars from stones that have been thrown at you. And I believe the love of God wants to heal every scar this morning, right now, through this word, where you've been hit with a stone. Amen? I believe the love of God wants to minister healing to every scar in your identity, for everything that's stopping you from believing that you are a son, that you are a daughter of God. I believe the love of God wants to heal every scar where you've been hit by a stone. And I also believe this. Here's the other thing. I'm going to say this last thing, and then I'm going to pray, and I believe the Lord's going to move. I sense the Lord moving right now. You know who I often throw stones at? Often I throw stones at myself. And you know what I really feel like the Lord wants to do? I really feel like the Lord wants some of you to lay down your stones right now. Some of you, every time you look in the mirror, man, you pick up a rock. Say, I don't like that thing. I don't believe in that thing. I don't believe in what. And the Lord is saying, you know what? It's time for you to put down that rock that you've been throwing at yourself and pick up the identity of your Heavenly Father who loves you, who gave His Son Jesus as a sacrifice to die on the cross for you. That is how much He loves you, family. God in heaven is certainly not sitting on a throne with a pile of rocks ready to stone you every time you make a mistake or every time you make a move. No, you have a God in heaven who has lavished the love of the Father upon you. And I believe He wants you to receive that in a more real, in a more powerful way right now than maybe you have ever before done. Will you just lift your hands with me for just a second? Especially, man, if you say, man, that's for me. That's something I want God to do in my life, man. Will you just lift your hands? We lift our hands as a sign of surrender, as a sign of openness, man. It says, God, I'm ready to receive whatever You want me to receive today, Father. I'm ready to receive that word. I receive that for myself right now in Jesus' name. And I'm going to pray right now with your hands lifted high. If you want to close your eyes, you can, just to take a little time to focus between you and the Lord and make this moment personal and private and intimate between Him and you. I'm going to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask Your Holy Spirit to move supernaturally and with Your anointing in the way that only You can throughout this entire congregation. Lord, throughout this entire room that's gathered here physically, and God, move beyond this room into living rooms and around kitchen tables, wherever people are worshiping and tuning in that are part of this family, Father. I pray right now that You will begin to minister healing over every scar. Lord, over every wound that we've received, God, when someone threw a rock at us. Over every wound and scar that we received in our identity in You, God, that's been damaged because of the rocks that we've been hit with. Lord, I pray right now for Your supernatural healing to touch every single scar. Lord, every place where we're holding rocks, ready to throw it at ourselves, Lord, I pray that You would help us to let those go right now in Jesus' name. In fact, you know what I want you to do? If that's for you today, I dare you right now, just hold up your fist right now. Hold up your fist right now, maybe say, man, I've been throwing rocks at myself. I want you to hold up your fist like you're holding on to a rock, like you're holding on to a stone. I don't know what the stone is. I don't know what the rock is. I don't know what the trouble is. I don't know what the scar is. But you know what I want you to do? I want you to, just as a symbolic spiritual gesture, when I count to three, I want you to release your hand, let that go, let that rock go, and begin to worship God, begin to let worship and praise begin to come out of your mouth. Are you ready to do that in Jesus' name? I believe healing and breakthrough is breaking out of this place right now. I don't know what rock you've been holding on to, ready to throw, but you're about to exchange it for the identity of your Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. Are you ready? I want you to let that thing go. Every rock that some of you have picked up the rocks that other people have thrown at you, and God's saying it's time to let those go. right now in the name of Jesus. One, two, three. We release and let go every rock, every stone, every scar, and we thank you for healing right now in Jesus' name. Come on, if you receive that, why don't you begin to worship? Come on, why don't you begin to lift up your voice right now? Come on, begin to lift up your voice right now. Begin to thank him for setting you free. Begin to thank him that he placed your identity.
Stop her.